Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our morning Devo. This is the second day of Lent, and so in case you missed yesterday, we are going through a series in our morning devotionals where we're looking at a different passage each day, all of which is meant to be part of our feasting on God's Word, and so as a means of pointing our attention to Jesus as we prepare our hearts for Easter. And so today's passage is from Philippians chapter 3. Starting from verse 12, and I'll be reading through chapter 4, verse 1. So again, this is Philippians chapter 3, and starting in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. So the Apostle Paul, the writer of this letter to the Philippian Christians, is probably one of the most esteemed, highly held examples of a follower of Jesus. Not that there are like rankings or anything like that, but he is someone who dedicated his whole life to Jesus, traveling all around the Roman Empire to preach the gospel, started churches, and lived out what appeared to be an unwavering faith. And so he's someone who, you know, if there was a list of quote-unquote perfect or great Christians, Paul would be high up on that list, if not at the very top. Again, this is not a real list of any kind or not a comparison, but he's just someone that we would look to as a great example as a follower of Jesus. But we see in this passage that in his own words, he says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. All of this is to say that Paul recognizes that he is still very much a work in progress. Yes, his one desire is to be with Jesus, as you can read in the earlier parts of chapter 3. And he is a man of God who just loves the Lord, has devoted his entire life to the gospel. And he also knows that he is not yet complete. He knows that God is still doing a work in him. Therefore, he tells us just that he continues to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead, pressing on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And he tells us that this is what mature followers of Jesus do, mature followers such as himself are to do. But what does this actually mean and what does this look like? When Paul says that he forgets what lies behind, he's not only talking about past incidents or memories or moments. He's not saying, you know, those bad things that I did or those bad things that happened to me in the past. Yeah, I'm just going to forget it. I'm just going to leave this behind, these memories behind, because the past is the past, and I'm not going to let the past bother me anymore. It's much more significant than that. Paul is talking about leaving behind your old sinful identity, your old sinful self, your previous life where you lived solely for yourself, the world, and according to your own ways. And instead of choosing to look ahead to God, it is calling you to be. This certainly does require leaving behind certain lifestyles or even leaving behind certain memories. But it also has greater significance. It has this greater significance of leaving behind your old sinful self and instead living as one who has been and continues to be transformed in Christ. And that's the distinction we see in verses 17 through 21. Paul makes a contrast between people who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ, as in people who live for themselves and set their minds on earthly things, all of which will only lead to their own destruction. He contrasts people like that with how we are to live as citizens of heaven who await the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform us and make us more like him. Very quick note on that. You make this contrast and distinction, but it's not an us versus them kind of mindset, at least not in the way that we might think, where it's pointing fingers at, you know, the bad people. We see that Paul, even as he talks about people who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ, he talks about how it pains him, how even with tears, you know, he talks about there are people like this. And so you can see that it's not something that he is calling out as a means of condemning, but rather pointing out that those who refuse, who reject Christ, are those who live in this way. And so I just want to make a quick note about that, that it's not a condemnation or a judgment in that kind of way. But anyway, the conclusion to all of this is this. Therefore, my brothers, stand firm thus in the Lord. We see that in chapter 4, verse 1. Paul paints this beautiful picture in this passage of living for an upward call and being transformed in Christ's likeness. And this is amazing, right? This is the goal. This is what we want to live for, what we want to see in our lives. And we see that a big part of getting to that point is to strain forward, to press on, hold true, and stand firm. There is this language of perseverance in order to grow in these ways. This might seem kind of random, but these words, this language, sort of reminds me of a time back in college. This definitely has happened more than once in my life, but just for some reason, I remember walking through my college campus from one part of campus to another in the middle of a very windy and rainy day. The rain was blowing against me. The wind was blowing against me, and in my attempt to stay dry while also getting to my destination, I had my umbrella opened in front of me, kind of at an angle. Maybe like a 45-degree angle in front of me. And so I could feel the wind pushing back against me, pushing back against the umbrella. And you feel this literal resistance from the wind, this force pushing against me to the point where it's actually affecting my ability to walk. And so I remember I'm straining and pressing against this wind, this force, all in order to move forward, where it's even difficult to walk. And so it's not easy going, but as I press on, I'm able to take the steps and move ahead and eventually get to where I'm supposed to go. Maybe a little bit more tired and wet than I would like to have been, but you know, there's this moving forward. This is kind of the way Paul instructs us to live. Straining forward and pressing on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes in our journey of faith, it's going to be easy going. Going back to my example of walking in the rain and the wind, sometimes it's actually going to feel like there is no resistance. It's a great day, and you're just walking, strolling along, no problems. Sometimes maybe you'll even feel like the wind is at your back, and it's even better, even easier, it's smooth sailing. But other times, we'll most certainly feel like walking against the wind, or to use a different imagery, trying to run in mud. Sometimes it'll even be challenging to stand firm. But Paul reminds us to keep looking ahead. We are no longer citizens of this world, but citizens in heaven. We look to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and do all that is in our ability to move forward and live out our calling in Him. What type of season are you in right now? Have you been straining ahead, or maybe have you just felt like stopping or giving up? Wherever you may be right now, let's continue to look to Jesus and press on, strain forward to what lies ahead. And let's also encourage one another in this journey. In verse 17, Paul urges the readers to imitate his example. And he also says to look to others who are also walking in the way of Jesus. The great thing about being a part of the body of Christ is that we can do this together. And not only can we are meant to do this together. And so let's help each other in this journey. When we see a brother or sister who maybe seems to have fallen, metaphorically speaking, let's help them up. Stand firm together. Press on towards Jesus. And I pray especially in this Lenten season that you'll continue to press on towards Jesus. That whatever it is that you're fasting, and however it is that you're choosing to feast in the Lord, that you'll remain steadfast. Receive all that the Lord has for you and continue to press on as we are continually transformed into His likeness. With that, let me pray for us to close this time. Lord God, we thank you for this word this morning and for this reminder, Lord, this reminder to press on. This pressing on is not just purely a remaining stubborn or just moving just for the sake of moving, but Lord, we are looking to you. We're pressing on towards the goal of the upward call of Christ Jesus. We're looking ahead to the day when we will be complete, when we will be transformed fully into your likeness. And we know that as we press on, that you are doing this work in us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give us the strength, the will, Lord, your ability, your power to press on, Lord. And Lord, when we feel tired or maybe unable to do so, help us to, again, first and foremost, look to you, but also to those around us whom we are journeying with. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bring us together as a church in this journey, press on together, to encourage one another, to lift up one another at times as we become more and more like you. So God, I pray over my brothers and sisters, especially as, again, we're in the beginning of this Lenten season, may we press on in you, Jesus. May we be filled with more of you and experience your joy and your blessing in this season. So God, we love you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.